Hey, it's Tony. On today's show, we will talk to Michael Wilbon about the Tarek Skubal trade and also about the Rocket Classic and the state of the PGA, and he will be angry. And we'll also chat with Mark Feinsand about Skubal and other big trades so far and what else may happen before the deadline early this evening. But first, commerce.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Can we talk about one other thing, Tony? This is the charity event that we're doing. Yeah.
Oh,
so
sure.
One of the things I do, and I'd love if we could get you and Michael out there, but like at the end of August, August 29th and 30th, I actually called Greg Garcia and invited him to it, but he only responds to me when he wants a discount at a Troon club, which is what he often does. So, you know, the guy's touring with Nate Fargotson is asking me for $20 off a tee time at a Hilton Head course that we run.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
That's funny. That made me laugh. Let me just say to Dustin Gilman and to Carrie Coaston, thank you very much for the emails. They're meaningful. I don't think you should read them on the air. My guess is it's okay if we don't read them on the air, but they're very, very nice. Thank you. So I was going to begin with a golf tournament that I played in over the weekend at Rehoboth Beach, and I'll get to that. You know, and I'll get to the Nats. I mean, the Nats got swept, you know. The Nats got swept in Atlanta, and I believe they're going to get swept in Philadelphia, too, I think. But we'll get to that because Mark Feinsand's going to be on the air. And we'll talk about trades and all of that stuff. But Sean had an experience that we need to talk about. Sean, tell the people what happened over the weekend with the Summer of Littles.
I went to the Summer of Littles in New York, and I got to meet Chuck and Roxy and some of the Littles. And actually, I'd met Chuck and Roxy before. I got to see them again. And it was a good time. We went to Hurley's in Manhattan and had some drinks and hung out. And they played a game of which celebrity Sean most resembles. And for a guy who used to get Jason Bateman and Eric Stoltz, Danny McBride was a little disappointing.
Nice. Danny McBride's funny, though. Yes. Danny McBride's funny. He was in those HBO shows that were funny. Yeah. They got to be too much after a while.
He found it down and vice
principal. The first three or four episodes were always terrific, sort of funny. And Michael, what did you celebrate yesterday?
Yes, we did. Got to celebrate 12 years of marriage to my wonderful wife, Liz.
That's lovely.
Congratulations.
Was there cake?
There's no cake. We got some champagne, and we got to go for a nice walk together.
Cake is what I think is good. Someone should get a cake. Even though
sadly,
I don't particularly
there's no
like
plane.
Cake. Yeah, okay, that's right.
But told there the was boys a plane. About the plane.
There was a
plane. There was
a plane,
yes.
Nobody wanted it, but I wanted it. It was a good idea. All right, so let me talk about this golf tournament I was in. This was the member at Rehoboth Beach, and I played with Rick Burrell, who I like very much and I play with often. And he's a big, strong player. He's about 6 to 8 shots better than I am. And on the first day of the tournament, he was about 16 shots better than I was because I was lousy.
Oh, no.
I was lousy. I've now gone through 4 putters. And look, I understand. Maybe the Rory McIlroy spider, maybe.
So,
but
we're not at zero torque yet?
No, it's not. It's not the putter. It's me. It's me.
The putter.
But I've tried mallets, and I've tried these other, you know, and I used to be a pretty good putter, and now I'm not. And I believe what I do because I miss to the right side so often, and people will say, well, you push the putt. No, I actually believe I am aligned badly. I actually believe my eyesight is such that I'm aligned badly.
Have you ever checked to see which eye dominant you are?
My left eye is dominant.
Okay.
And I push the ball to the right. I'm not pushing it. I'm hitting it cleanly. I'm just missing time after time.
Are these on all putts or just like left to right breaking putts? Because a lot of times for right-handed
most
golfer,
putts.
That right to left breaking putt, you get a little extra cushion.
Most putts. You know, I'm not very good. I was better yesterday. At one point, I had 4 pars in a row, which is a big deal for me.
Sure.
So I was better yesterday, although I hit 1 or 2 in the water yesterday. The worst thing was when we opened up on Saturday, our first hole was 13. 13 is a very difficult par 3 over water. And
near
the water
green.
Yeah, and the water gets progressively closer, how do I put this?
The green
if you hit
moves
a good
away,
shot, yeah, the green moves away. So you have
the ball off the tee.
Yeah. So I went to the range and I practiced that shot. I practiced teeing up. Wait, let me get to it. I practiced teeing it up, practiced using the five rescue, practiced going left. I was set. I just thought, if I can get a four on that hole, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind not getting a three if I can get a four. And I got up there and I hit it, and I thought it was a hole in one. And it hit the top of the bank and rolled into the water. And I wasted all my time, went right in the water. Yesterday on the next par three, 15, I was in the sand. I blasted out of the sand. See you later, alligator. And right in the water. So that was lousy. But we had a good time. And we finished. We were minus two on Saturday and minus three yesterday. So we were minus five. We're not going to win our flight. We didn't win our flight. But we tied for second in our flight.
Nice.
And it's an interesting circumstance. You're not with the players you are playing with, you're not playing against them specifically. You're playing against the entire field. So just beating the people you're playing against doesn't really mean anything.
Sure.
And those guys were minus five on Friday, and yesterday they were even. We were minus two, minus three. We tied them. Barry and Rick, we tied them for second place in the flight. But listen to this. They got second place and $25. We got nothing, even though we had the same score.
Magic cards.
The tiebreaker, according to Rick, was a random hole. And whoever won that random hole won. Why? How do we know?
You've got somebody friends in the shop. Come
14.
On.
I don't know how this happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt that if we tied, and we not only tied, but we played each other and tied, that we should get half the prize. Even if it's only $12.50, we should get half the prize. I thought that
seems
way.
Seems reasonable. Or at least do something substantial. Like, we're going to choose day two's total score. We're even going to choose the last nine from day two. Something that you can look to and feel good about.
It was odd. In fact, in my email, I said, it's insane.
Couldn't you guys go to penalty kicks or something like that?
No, we didn't. No penalty kicks.
Wait,
nothing.
You wrote an email?
But
was this an official email giving
feedback to Rick?
For the
no, just to Rick. No, just to Rick. I loved the tournament.
Attention,
I loved
Robert
it.
Beach
I had a
Pro
wonderful
Shop.
Time. I had a wonderful time, but I feel somehow that if you tie, if two tie, all
tie.
Right? But it is true that there's a lot of matching card things in country club playoffs, but usually it's somebody wouldn't choose a random hole.
Yeah, that just
that
seems.
Was, I mean, that
it's
was
interesting
so odd
that it also
me.
Was the group that you played with for 2 days in a row.
No. We played with another group the first day.
Okay.
We played with Rick and John Kinnar the first day. No, we got beat the first day, but then they came back to the pack the second. In any case, I enjoyed it.
Well,
I mean, I had a good time, and the weather was good, unlike it is now, where it's been pouring for 6 hours and it's going to pour all day. But it was quite lovely, and I was happy to do it. Happy to do it. And you know what we got for a prize? When you register for a tournament, tournaments cost money. They charge you money to play in these tournaments. That's fine. Everybody understands that. But often they give you a souvenir, a gift, or something like that. For the member guests, we got gifts that, you know, one of them was very good. One of them was a pair of shoes. That was very good.
Nice.
The others were less good, as I'll just say, less good. But you know what we got yesterday? We got Maui Jim sunglasses.
Huge.
You
oh, wow.
could choose your own. Those are good.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like almost as much money as paying for the tournament. Yeah, I'm going to lose them. I'm going to lose them quickly.
Of course, but you know what sunglasses you just have to budget. You lose one pair a year.
Yeah, well, I lost two pair a couple of months ago when I turned in my car and my sunglasses were in it, and I never saw them again.
Gone forever.
Those things happen.
That's a good prize, though. I mean, it's a nice
gift.
Yes,
no, I thought it was really good.
Another sneaky good prize, an umbrella.
An umbrella would be very good.
I used one this morning, yeah.
Umbrella would be very good. I used one. I have one. I have a big umbrella. I used it this morning. Let me just get to the Nats quickly. They made a trade. They have now made two trades. They have traded away Curtis Meade and Luis Garcia. They have traded away their starting third baseman and first baseman. They have replaced them with pitchers. They have not replaced them with everyday players. They have replaced them with pitchers who are not either in the majors or not able to pitch at the moment. They don't have a third baseman or a first baseman now. They got Chaputzva at first base now. That's who they got at first. They don't have a third baseman. You want Brady House to be your third baseman? Give him the job for 2 weeks and see if he can do it. And they don't do that because the baby manager is locked in to this notion, and I'm sure it's with the general manager as well, to this notion that nobody, they never have the same lineup with one exception. James Wood always leads off. That's fine. But everybody else is always sort of scattered. C.J. Abrams plays every day. He's the only other person who plays every day. Everybody else comes to the park and wonders, am I playing today? And they don't know. You know, they just don't know. And it's
good
always...
meeting, coach.
I don't like this. I mean, you're 100 games in.
You like a set lineup.
Well, it doesn't have to be set all the time.
But like a
but
base
this
lineup.
Moves every day.
Yeah.
This moves every day. And every time I see Tana and Vivas in there, I go, why are they in there? And I'm getting that way about Dylan Cruz. Dylan Cruz hits the ball hard all the time, but at somebody all the time. Yep. And I don't know. I don't know if he's a major league player. I don't know.
And the first month he was back up, it was okay to be like, well, he's the unluckiest batter because of this. And we can show you this metric. But now it just feels like it's a pattern.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance that this player who went to the Yankees, who is it, Garcia?
Garcia.
That he, you know, gets hit by a pitch in his second.
I don't know. But I will tell you that between Meade and Garcia, that's probably close to 40 home runs and probably close to 90 RBI. And that's gone.
Yeah.
That's not on the roster now, right? I mean, that's not on the roster. And they're replaced with pitchers. And the pitchers, relievers, they got four relievers for – their relievers are the worst in the league.
Well, new relievers
now we have new relievers. And I was saying on the text chain, put them in right away.
See what they
put them in tonight. Yeah. Send them to Philadelphia, put them in.
Cruz has already been activated.
I mean, you can't be worse – can't be worse than Krook or Poulin or Lovelady. Can't be worse than them. They're not even – are they on the team? They're not even on the team anymore.
No.
Can't be worse. So, you know,
so again, put weeks back, you're circling this eight-game stretch with the Braves and the Phillies, and exactly what happened to the Braves is the worst possible outcome. And the Garcia trade feels like it would have happened even if they didn't lose the first three games of that series just based on where they were with his trade value and what sort of the Yankees – needed. It really does feel like you look at the playoff odds and you look like what that meant about these two teams ahead of you and you just go, the season is over. So when you think about the manager coming up with all these different permutations of the lineup, you are just trying to learn what you can learn for the next season. It's a sad realization at this point of the summer, but that's the takeaway.
It's a shame because
they were leading in game one, lost the lead, and that was it.
And that was it. Like if they'd won that game, you think,
No, and they didn't. And they fail. And a lot of guys fail, and even the good players, Abrams.
Yes.
Yeah. He failed. You know, the good. It's not just the bad players who fail.
Do you think he gets moved today?
No. No, you cannot trade C.J. Abrams or James Wood. That's craziness. That'd be like right now trading Cavalli. They keep trading their best pitchers, and what do they get?
Yeah,
you got to What get are they back. Getting for their best pitchers? So I'm depressed. I'm depressed by it.
Do you feel better talking about it?
Yeah, it's therapeutic. I mean, I feel like I'm laying down on a couch.
Did you watch Dodgers Red Sox last night?
I watched a lot of it, yeah.
Just
three
to see
home
the,
runs in one inning.
To see the cutaway.
I wanted to see
who was in the dugout.
Yeah, Skubal was in the dugout. Well, we'll talk to Feinsand about that. Yeah. I mean,
but the Red Sox go out there and
Red Sox are great. The Red Sox are the best team in baseball over the last month.
It's amazing. Out of the break, they sweep Tampa, and now they go out to Los Angeles.
Tampa's good.
And they sweep the Dodgers. Did not expect that.
Yeah, these are the two leading teams in baseball relative to their leagues.
Yeah.
And Boston swept them both.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Who's that center fielder that Boston has who twirls his glove all the time?
Oh, Cedeño Rafael, I think his name is.
Yeah. It's really cool to see him.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I think he hit one out last night, too.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
They're good.
He had like 3-1 innings, right?
It was back to back. Then Contreras got out, and then
that's all I do now is watch baseball. I mean, I now watch teams I don't even care about.
But I've shown you the path to watch the Beatles.
Yes, no, I can watch the Beatles. I know how to watch the Beatles now. It's on Disney Plus.
Yes, that's right.
Which I didn't think I had, but I guess I have because I'm an employee of Disney.
I'm not sure, but it's there. Cast member. Yeah.
All right. That's all I got. I shouldn't talk more about the golf. I couldn't hit driver, Michael.
Ooh.
I was hitting it like very left and very low. I just
all those putter worries.
I don't know. If I don't hit driver, I can't play. I can't.
No, we'd
be
always
in
say
a hole.
You drive like a single digit handicap. I mean, yeah, albeit but one I didn't. Instead of 165, but.
Yeah, I don't get it very far. That's why when they say Rory's 183 out and he's got pitching wedge in his hand, I can't hit a drive 183.
Nope, tee it up.
He's got pitching wedge. Doesn't seem right to me. And I watched a lot of that Rocket Mortgage guy. I don't know. That's I'm so old. I just watch things for old people.
You're in their pocket.
I will take a break. Yeah, Bipsick. Wilbon, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is brought to you by FanDuel. Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
They say that every day your business is late to AI, you actually fall 2 days behind. Look, the competition is only moving faster, and trying to keep up can feel completely overwhelming. Fortunately, there's NetSuite Next. You probably already know NetSuite as the trusted AI-powered business management suite used by over 43,000 customers to securely connect financials, inventory, HR, and CRM into one single source of truth. Well, NetSuite Next is a massive leap forward because AI is now built into everything you do. It automatically surfaces custom insights throughout your day, deploys AI agents to handle routine work, and lets you ask questions just like you're talking to a colleague. It's customized for a wide range of industries, and honestly, if you need a system to scale your business, this is what you should use. Whether you earn millions or hundreds of millions, it's time for NetSuite Next. For the first time ever, you can try NetSuite Next for free if your revenues are at least in the seven figures. Woo! Go to netsuite.ai/Tony. Built for every industry, ready for every boardroom. netsuite.ai/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This band is called Historically Close Friends. This song is called Man of Your Dreams. Jim Arum of Haymarket, Virginia writes, "My daughter, Sadie Arum, belts out lyrics for Historically Close Friends, a local indie rock band based in D.C. Last week, they released their latest single, Man of Your Dreams, on Spotify and Apple Music. Music has always been a big part of Sadie's life, from the second grade talent show, the many choral competitions and musicals in the middle and high school, and singing a cappella with notoriety at JMU. While she currently works in PR during the day, music is still an important part of her life as lead singer for Historically Close Friends and as a founding member of Quadrality, the DMV's latest group of adults who peaked in college a cappella. She still has the pipes. Couldn't be more proud of her." That's signed Sadie's dad. And once again, this is Historically Close Friends. Plays in Mike Wilbon. Let's start with, you know, Scooble to the Dodgers. You know the owner of the Dodgers. He's a Northwestern guy, right? You know him.
Yes, he is.
Mark Walter.
Like Mark Walter, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of all of the ramifications of Scooble to the Dodgers?
Well, I'm not one of these people who thinks it ruins baseball. The Dodgers.
Me too.
I mean, they say this about the Yankees of Steinbrenner and Jackson and Martin and all that stuff. And they said it about, you know, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in these screaming, meme-y sort of, you know, assessments of anything. The Dodgers have, because it's not just the money. It's the ambition and the insight and the scouting. You have to have the people to turn into assets that other teams want. So if he was out there to be had and the Tigers wanted the best haul they can get, then put together a better package. Put together at least as good a package. But they can't, or they don't, or they're not ambitious enough, or their owners don't really want to do it, Or sometimes in a lot of cities, there's not the same pressure there is to win in New York and L.A. And so, you know, I don't have any, even as a fan of a team that is chasing the Dodgers, some people think has maybe the best chance along with Milwaukee right now from the way things are going to beat the Dodgers in the National League, and that may be tiny, that chance. I'm not upset with it. The Cubs went out and they did the next best thing they could do, and they got Gausman.
They got Kevin Gausman.
I'm happy with that. I'm happy, very happy with that. Just reading about that. And so, you know, compete. Stop whining. So much of sports is now just whining. It's just whining and blubbering and, you know, people talking about what they can't do and people assigning, you know, a numeric value to a player and they're saying, therefore, the season's over. I mean, that garbage.
So I feel the same way that you do. Maybe we disagree. I don't even think it was a very good package. And you're renting the guy for 2 months is all you're doing. But I didn't even think it was very good. It was nobody in the major leagues. And I think the Dodgers did it for two reasons. One, Scooble can help. And two, they didn't want him to go to Milwaukee or Chicago or Philadelphia. I mean, you try to block
true,
that.
But if you're Detroit,
and
you
that's
don't care
good.
About
that's
that.
Smart.
Hmm? Yeah, of course. What? It is. If you're Detroit, yeah. You don't give a damn about that. If you're Detroit,
no, of course not.
These prospects better pay off for you to just let them walk like that. Or if you're the other teams, why didn't you make a better deal? If you're Philly
that's
or
right.
Chicago or whomever, Milwaukee, then why didn't you say, okay, and I don't think major leaguers were, the Tigers aren't contending that way. They don't have that pressure that I mentioned that the Yankees and the Mets and the Dodgers have. They don't have that. So Detroit's looking at building a team a much more old-fashioned way with prospects, theirs or yours. So I'm not, them getting major leaguers doesn't mean anything. But, you know, could other teams have done the same thing? We'll find out. We'll get some reporting on that sometime today and tomorrow and in the coming days. But, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers did that. I don't think that ensures the Dodgers anything.
Well, the Dodgers are getting back. They've gotten Diaz back. They're getting Glasnow back. They're getting Snell back. And they just added a two-time Cy Young Award winner. And that's why they won last year, because their pitching was great in the playoffs. And so I don't think anyone is assured of anything. But that's, I think they still remain the favorites. This is why the players don't want a salary cap for something like this. Because Tarek Skubal is going to make $1 billion. And even though most players would be helped by having a salary floor, they go, no. Because players think, well, maybe this could be me. I could be Tarek Skubal. I get that. The Cubs got Gausman. You're happy with that? Did the White Sox do anything?
Yes.
Didn't they get a reliever?
I hadn't paid attention. I wasn't waking up in the middle of the night to see what the White Sox did, but I was waking up in the middle of the night to read about Gausman. And we needed a pitcher.
Your pitchers are on the DL.
In addition to Matthew Boyd, in addition to this lefty Peterson, who's been pitching really well for the Cubs and showed it in Imanaga, we had three, four starters there, and the guy we got in the offseason from the Marlins is supposed to return. And if he can, you know, that gives us five starters, you know, in September into presumably October. I'll take that. And I'll go up. You don't have to have five starters in October. You may need them to get you to that point.
You need three in October.
You need three good ones, and you'd like to have a fourth given what they do now, given the way the game is played now. So, and with the Cubs having the best defense in the league, and the Cubs are right now, I think, the number two offense in Major League Baseball, I'm not afraid to go up against the Dodgers with that.
No, you shouldn't be. You're a fan. You shouldn't be. You should be optimistic about that. So I watched baseball as well on the weekend, and then I watched the golf. I watched the Rocket Classic. This is a tournament that's ending. The kid who won it, Thorbjørnsen, had probably had the day of his life. He shot 63 on Sunday, and he pulled away right in the last three holes, and he won the tournament.
Made a par 18.
Yeah, Michael Thorbjørnsen. I've heard of him because I'd seen him like last year. It's the first tournament he's ever won, and he posted 63. And this tournament is going away. As golf gets richer and richer and richer, and they kick their longtime sponsors to the curb. What are your thoughts on that? Because mine are that it makes me uneasy. I don't like it.
Mine are more offended than that because they tie to something that is near and dear to me. You know, I don't know that they kick tournaments out of big markets, you know, off the coasts. They kick out of Detroit. Mm-hmm. It's just weak. It's just, you know, lazy on the part of golf, and it basically sends a message. We don't need the middle of America. We don't particularly want it unless you're playing at Jack's Place. I mean, they're not smart enough. Let me be more critical. It's stupid. If you're part of the tour that assigns tournaments or says where things are going to be played, and you're not smart enough to put a tournament in Chicago every summer, you're stupid, and you get what you deserve, and you're fearful and fretful, and you're so afraid of the NFL that you won't even compete. You won't compete in August. We're not in September. We're not at week zero going up against college football. They stop in July.
Well, they play because the Tour Championship at the last week in August.
The Tour Championship, fine. That's yes. One tournament. They give
three.
Away August. They give it away. They don't compete.
No,
they don't understand that also maybe you have to find some audience at some times and get more creative, because if all you're going to do is roll over because you're not the NFL, then you got other problems too.
Well, I don't agree with that. But I would ask you this. Ricky Fowler is one of the most popular players on tour with his fellow competitors and with the general public. And he won this tournament a couple of years ago, and it was meaningful to him. It's probably the last tournament he's won. He's never won a major. What happened to Ricky Fowler?
Wasn't quite good enough. Nothing happened. Yeah, he's still out there. He's still playing. I follow him. I've gotten to know him a little bit.
Yeah.
He's out there playing. He's just a lot of...
Oh, no, I know he was there.
Most guys don't win majors. They don't. Most don't. And so he's one of them who... You know, I was talking about this with Matthew yesterday because he likes Ricky Fowler. And yeah. He said, Dad, you think Ricky Fowler's got a shot at a major? And I said, Matty, a shot, sure. People do have late runs in life, some of them. But I said, probably not. Probably not. He's a really good player. He won a lot of money. We were looking up something, how much money somebody won last year without winning a major. It was $14 million. And we're talking about just money on tour and how you can play and win and have a great life and be a terrific player for a long time. Doesn't mean you're going to win a major.
Yeah.
And so I know he wears. We were talking about this in relationship to Tiafo. And we were talking about this relationship. I didn't know Tiafoe would go out in the first round.
Yeah, I think they agree to play to build a gate, and then they just tank and they get out quickly. Tiafoe's never been as close to winning as Fowler's been.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Fowler's had seconds. Fowler's had seconds,
and he's won tournaments.
Three of the four. Yeah, and he's won three of the four. But the point is, the larger point was, not everybody's in a GOAT argument. And Ricky Fowler is in that next tier of players who had a really, really fine career and didn't win a major. And I wish he had, because I like him. And I know he's good for the game because you mentioned his popularity.
Among other players and the general public. Yeah. Bad day for Detroit. They lose Scooble. They lose the golf tournament.
Oh,
and that was really a bad day.
This is what I mean. I know you don't care about it. You don't care about Detroit.
I just said it's a bad day for Detroit.
I know, but
one of my dearest friends.
You just also said you disagree with me when I said the tournament scared.
Oh,
and they
no.
don't want to be
in
smaller markets.
I disagree with you when you say that they have turned their back on the Midwest. I don't believe that to be true. Hazeltine just hosted a women's major. Hazeltine in Minnesota. Does that count as the Midwest? It does to me.
Where are the tournaments? The BMW doesn't even play in Chicago. You think that's not big enough? That's not a golf enough town for you?
Oh, Chicago is. Chicago in the summer should have a tournament.
Territory.
Chicago should have a tournament. Well, are you listening? Chicago should have a tournament. That's what I'm saying.
you know, that's like a bone.
St. Louis should have tournaments. Belle Reve and places like that. St. Louis should have tournaments.
They split it up. They'll split it up and say, oh, the Midwest, let's throw a bone like that. They'll split it up between Chicago and Minnesota and Iowa and all those places out there, as they stay here in the DMV capital of the world. Yes, I'm sneering.
It's
yes.
The I-95 sneer.
Yes,
he's just angry.
Thank you.
He just said earlier in the show, people are just so stupidly angry, and now he's just angry. Just like the people he criticized, he's now angry again. I thought that was nice. Anything else you're interested in? This was a sort of a weekend, you know.
We got nothing for 20 days.
Yeah.
Everybody now is the time that, you know, you zero in on maybe what's personal. I mean, first of all, baseball doesn't have to stage very long. You know, they do get it. They'll August, really, to me, I mean, I'll watch the Cubs every day because you're in it, and I'll pay attention to the White Sox every day, which amazingly somehow has a 3-game lead despite just being 5-5 constantly in the last 10. I'll pay attention to them. But, you know, and I'm doing something that you're never going to do and won't understand, and you'll sneer at this. I'm preparing to follow, you know, international football.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
To the
I'm glad for you. I want you to do it.
I got a subscription to the Times of London this week to follow, like, the Times of London follows soccer internationally the way that the Washington Post and the New York Times, when they did business, and they weren't too gutless to actually have business,
when
they covered the NFL. And so I'm ready for that. And that starts,
let me ask you a golf question. Did you see when that guy Kirk, the Shankopotamus to the right on like 13 or 14, did you see that?
No,
he lost the ball. All right, so he lost the ball, and all of his playing partners and all of their caddies are stomping around like elephants to try to find the ball, step on the ball.
Right.
This is how DeChambeau got a two-shot penalty, and there was no penalty here. Yeah. Now, he had to take a drop when he found the ball.
He
lost a stroke.
On, I guess.
Well,
I guess he didn't actually step on
it. It's just so weird. It was just a weird situation. That's a shot I would make, except I would hit it dead right, but not that far. I mean,
I was trying to watch a bunch of stuff yesterday, so I didn't live on Rocket, but I watched like 70% of it. Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. Mark Feinsand will join us and tell us what's the latest in trade deadline talk. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
We're gonna face the Yankees, but they're a bunch of dolts. They got pinstripes, yeah, big deal. We got Glavin, Maddox, Curtin, and Smoltz. Glavin, Maddox, Curtin, and Smoltz. We're gonna play the Dodgers, we'll stuff them in the attic. They got Shohei, I'm unimpressed. We got Smoltz and Curtin, Glavin, and Maddox. Smoltz and Curtin, Glavin, and Maddox. We're gonna play the Mets, I'll have what she's having. They got Lindor, Soto, Bichette. We got Maddox, Curtin, Smoltz, and Glavin. Maddox, Curtin, Smoltz, and Glavin. We're gonna play the Sox, their bats will be searching. They'll be crying on Yawkey Way. We got Smoltz and Maddox, Glavin, and Curtin. Smoltz and Maddox, Glavin, and Curtin.
It's fantastic. It's a song about meeting these people in a urinal. You don't think Dan Byrne's a genius? Really?
He's a genius.
He is a genius. He said, I promise no story of when I met Wee Willie Keeler in the bathroom. Thought you might enjoy this song, though. It's very, very great. Very, very great. And it plays in Mark Feinsand, who is busy, because this is the coolest day in the middle of the season of baseball. It's much cooler to me than the All-Star game, even though I really like the All-Star game, because the trades are going on. Other than Skubal, what are your one or two or three headlines? Because we're going to get to Skubal, but what are your headlines for the movement that's happened so far, and what do you expect today by 6 o'clock?
Well, I think the Yankees adding Luis Garcia Jr. is notable. This is a team that is built to win this year if, and I say if Aaron Judge comes back as Aaron Judge. Their rotation is outstanding. I expect they will add to the bullpen before today is over, but they really needed another bat. And if Garcia can do in New York what he did in Washington, as you are well familiar with, I think that is the kind of bat, and a controllable bat, which I think was important for them as well, where if you can have him in the middle of a lineup with Ben Rice and Aaron Judge, and if Cody Bellinger comes back, this is a really good team. But they needed a bat to try to tide things over until Judge and Bellinger are back. So I thought that was important.
Can I interrupt and ask one question here? Do you think Garcia ever plays the field, or do you think he's strictly DH?
I think he'll see some time at first base. Ben Rice is gets a lot of their at-bats at first. I think you'll see Rice and Garcia in there as a first base DH combination, and Goldschmidt will get some at-bats against lefties at first base. But I could definitely see Garcia and Rice sort of splitting up some time between first base and DH.
Okay. All right. I didn't think so. Go ahead. What else?
Kevin Gausman to the Cubs. They've been looking for a pitcher. They've had more injury problems than anybody in terms of their pitching this year. He's not having the greatest year, but he's a gamer. He's a guy who's been in the playoffs. He helped get to the Blue Jays to the World Series last year. And they needed a guy who could go out there and just give them a good outing every time. And, he's not Tarik Skubal. Nobody is. Nobody on this market was going to have the same type of impact as Skubal. But I thought Gausman was impressive. An impressive get for the Cubs. Freddie Peralta has had a terrible season. Was supposed to be, this big savior for the Mets this year. But I like Tampa Bay getting him. They've had luck in helping guys turn things around. He's going to a competitive situation where, if you look at his season, he actually pitched okay for the Mets in the first month or two. And then when the whole season just fell apart for the team, he fell apart with them. And he was part of the problem. But there's a little less pressure in the Tampa Bay market than there is coming to New York as the major shiny new toy of the offseason. So if there's a team out there that can get the best out of Freddie Peralta, to me, it's the Tampa Bay Rays.
4.99 ERA and failed to go 5 innings in 15 of his 22 starts. He's been a dead lox. Don't you think? I mean, honestly, he's been lousy.
100%. But he has a track record the past few years of being really good. So you have to wonder, is he one of those, Ed Whitson couldn't hack it in New York? And anytime anybody can't hack it in New York, they're like, oh, that's another Ed Whitson. Maybe he's another Ed Whitson. And getting out of New York, getting into a different market, a smaller market where there isn't quite the same spotlight, even though the Rays have the best record in the American League, maybe that the price, they've traded away three of their bottom level prospects in their top 30. I think it was number 16, 26, and 27. So it wasn't like they had to give up a ton for them. The rental prices have not nearly been as bad as everybody thought they would be. All I've heard for weeks is everybody's prices are insane, and the sellers know that they have the upper hand, so they're not coming down. But when you look at what the Cubs gave up for Gausman, when you look at what the Rays gave up for Peralta, and even if you look at what the Dodgers gave up for Skubal, they gave up a lot of talent. But there were people around the league texting me within minutes after that trade was announced saying that they thought that the return for Skubal was rather light given, how impactful he can be.
Let me get to that, because I looked at that and said, that's all? That's all Detroit is getting from the Dodgers? And if that's all Detroit is getting, are you telling me that other teams – like, I don't know, Milwaukee or the Braves or the Cubs or the Phillies couldn't have given more than that to get a dominant pitcher? It just didn't seem to me like the Dodgers had to stretch to do it.
So here's what I'll say. Zaire Hope is the number 5 prospect, or was their number 5 prospect, number 25 overall in the league. So he would have been the number 1 prospect for many other teams. So just because he's the Dodgers' number 5 doesn't mean that the Tigers didn't do well in getting him. This is a guy who can be a multi-time all-star once he gets to the big leagues. River Ryan, who I believe was number 68 overall, some people said, well, why didn't they try to get Robleski, or why didn't they try to get Emmett Sheehan? People I talked to said, those guys have obviously shown they can do it in the big leagues, and Ryan hasn't yet. But Ryan's upside is higher. He's had some injury problems, and people look at him and say, if he can put it together and stay healthy, he has ace potential. You know, so look, when it comes down to prospects, the question is, which ones do you like? And everybody's going to have a little bit of a different take on who they like. For me, the biggest question was, why do that deal Saturday night if you're the Tigers when you have another, you know, 40 hours till the trade deadline? Try to build up a bidding war with the Rays, with the Brewers, with the Cubs, with the Braves, whoever it may be. That deal the Dodgers made was going to be there today. So my only curiosity in that trade more than anything else was why they did it Saturday night. Everybody thought the Scooble thing was going to go into Monday morning. It would get done Monday morning, so there would be time for physicals and medicals and making sure there were no last-minute snags. But it just seemed a little bizarre that Detroit jumped and did that, you know, 2 days before the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers do not need Tarek Skubal. So I'm going to ask you this question. On a sliding scale of 100%, how much was the Dodgers wanting Tarek Skubal, and how much was the Dodgers not wanting someone else to get Tarek Skubal?
I would say it was 75% them wanting Skubal and 25% not wanting to see Skubal and Mizorowski in games 1 and 2 of a playoff series.
I think
if the Brewers had gotten Skubal, that would have just been a terrifying 1-2 punch. And if you've got those guys going 4 or 5 times in a 7-game series, good luck. That said, the Dodgers are an aggressive team, and they've built up this war chest of prospects that they can use top 100 prospects, and they're still going to have one of the best farm systems in the game. So, you know, Andrew Friedman, for all the talk about how much money the Dodgers spend, and let's not fool ourselves, they spend a lot of money, but they've also done everything else in their organization the right way between scouting and trades and development, and this is where they can really put their foot on the throats of everybody else in the league and say, you know, did we need Tarek Skubal? No. Could we get him and make ourselves the prohibitive favorites to win a third straight World Series? Yes. And so, you know, that's the goal, is to win the whole damn thing. And the Dodgers now are in a position where, you know, if Ohtani's knee is a little balky and he can't pitch, okay, so we've got Yamamoto and Skubal, and we'll have, you know, two-time Cy Young under Blake Snell as our number 3 starter. And Glasnow, who would be the number 1 or 2 on a lot of other teams, he can pitch game 4. So, you know, I think the Dodgers are just, they're an aggressive team. They go for it. And you have to give them credit for never taking their foot off the gas, no matter what the situation is.
What does that say, I mean, to baseball fans? Are they upset with this? Or do they say, you know what, it didn't cost them a lot of money, and they made the strategic play, and yeah, it makes all the sense in the world?
Both. You know, I mean, baseball fans are angry because they think, well, why am I even going to watch the playoffs this year if you know, the Dodgers are the super team and they're just going to go.
Well, they just lost to Boston, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, baseball's weird, right? We've seen better teams lose 7-game series. You get one pitcher who pulls a performance out of his rear end, and all of a sudden, you know, you're down 1-0 in a series, and, you know, somebody pops one out at an inopportune moment, and all of a sudden, you know, the Dodgers are up against the wall. We saw them lose back-to-back years against Arizona and San Diego. We saw Philly give them a tough time. Toronto almost beat them in the World Series last year. So, you know, while they have certainly been on a run that we haven't seen since those 90s, you know, Joe Torre teams, they've also proven that, you know, they've been beatable. Now, they haven't always gotten beat when they've been beatable, but they've been beatable. And, you know, Torre used to, when I covered him with the Yankees, he used to love to use the word crapshoot, and everybody gets mad when people say the playoffs are a crapshoot, but they really are.
Look
no further than a couple of years ago when the Rangers were in the World Series. Anybody expect that year? If you had that on your bingo card, let me know.
No.
So this wasn't about money. Now, when Skubal signs a deal with the Dodgers next year for $400 and something or $500 million, then you can go back to yelling about money. But this was about a team that has built up a farm system through all of its means of scouting, development, drafting, trading. And it's not like the Dodgers are picking guys in the top 5 in the draft. So, you know, this was about an organization that has built itself the right way, not only because of its enormous financial advantage, but some really smart people who do a really good job.
Do you expect anything today? Is there a name out there you expect to be moved today?
I expect about 30 to 40 trades to be made today because that's what the deadline has become. All these teams are just waiting and waiting for prices to come down. The sellers are waiting and waiting for people to meet their prices, and deadlines create urgency. And so by the time that, you know, 2 o'clock today or 4 o'clock today rolls around and there's just a couple or a few hours left, and, you know, teams to go, well, if I want to move this guy, I'm going to have to bring the price down. Or if I want to add this guy, I'm going to have to increase my price a little bit. You know, Luis Arraez is one of the better hitters in the game in terms of, you know, batting average and just sort of bat to ball skills. He will probably move today. Joe Adell.
He's traded every year. Every year. This guy wins batting titles in both leagues and gets traded every year.
You know, people like power. He doesn't have it, but when you look at a team that needs a guy, you know, hitting in the top third of their lineup who can get on base and set the table for the guys in your team who can put the ball out of the ballpark, there aren't very many guys better than Luis Arraez. And this year, he's actually been admirable at second base. And his defense was always a question mark. So he'll get moved today. Joe Adell, highly touted prospect for many years, put it together with a 30-plus home run season last year. Not having a great year this year, but there are teams that need right-handed power, the Yankees, the Phillies.
Great fielder.
I think he gets moved today. You'll see a whole slew of relievers moved. There will be a few more starting pitchers moved, Casey Mize, Robbie Ray. Foster Griffin is, I would say, about 50-50 to get moved. You know, the Nationals, I know. I was trying not to bring that up. I figured that was going to be a sore spot. But you know what? You look at where the Nationals are. They're, you know, they've got a bunch of teams ahead of them. They're still in the race, but I think the fact that they traded Garcia shows you that they're looking more long-term. Griffin's going to be a free agent. This was a diamond in the rough that they got. Made the All-Star team this year, and given the need for starting pitching out there, the return could be pretty good. And Paul Tamboni's looking at this in a bigger picture for his team. So it would not surprise me if he gets moved. There haven't really been a lot of much traction on extension talks with him. So keeping him and losing him to free agency versus getting something today for him wouldn't shock me if he's somewhere else by the end of the day.
I'll just say this. The Nationals are trading away players who have been extraordinarily productive this year, almost unthinkably productive in terms of Meade and Griffin, not so much with Garcia, and they're getting back nothing. They're not getting back somebody who's going to step onto the field, you know? That's the problem I have. It's all,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
the trade they made yesterday with the Yankees, you know, Cruz, that people look at as a potential future closer. A couple of the other minor league arms are pretty well regarded throughout the league, and people think they've got a chance to be pretty good big leaguers. Jake Bird was a guy who last year was highly sought after at the deadline. The Yankees got him as part of their big bullpen deadline day, and he was dreadful with the Yankees. And I don't wish bad on anybody, but the idea of him coming to Washington and just thinking up the joint and providing you with endless content is just too entertaining to not think about.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Tony, I know Nigel said the other day there are no more urinal stories, but I have to share mine because
please.
It was one of the more bizarre moments of my life. When I was in college, I was working as a runner for ABC Sports at the BC Notre Dame game in Boston College. And at halftime, I went down into the tunnel and I went into the men's room and I'm standing at the urinal. And all of a sudden, I look next to me and the Notre Dame leprechaun is at the urinal next to me. It was by far the most surreal moment of my life because I just couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. It was like an SNL sketch or something. And I just, it stayed with me for, I think we're now talking about 34 years. So,
great.
It was one of the, when I heard the urinal story starting, I was like, yeah, this is mine. I actually have one.
Everybody's got one. Thank you, Mark. Mark Feinstein, boys and girls. He's working hard today.
Oh, yeah.
Working really hard today. We will take a break. We will come back with email and jingle. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
That is the Zama Love Zama, middle school guitar class in Japan. That's really nice. Bethesda Bagel Ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you'll be thrilled.
And before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, hate New York City. It's cold and it's damp. And all the people dressed like monkeys. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimos. That town's a little bit too rugged for you and me, you bad girl. Rolling down Imperial Highway with a big, nasty redhead at my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot for the north, and we were born to ride. That is to Tarek Skubal for his arrival in Los Angeles. Thanks to our guest today, Michael Wilbon. Angry. Just angry.
Very angry.
Mark Feinsand. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review from our old friend Jason Blazer in Lake Orion, or Lake Orion. I think it's Orion, Michigan. I was thoroughly amused as you were describing both the thrilling highs and the abysmal lows of which your life consists. When listing the bad parts of your life, you two cited examples were walking your dog during the winter months and the need to trek to the grocery store to procure food in which to feed yourself. Dr. Grandpa, I say on behalf of all littles, we're pulling for you. I'm still working on arrangements for the candlelight vigil to be held in your honor. From Sam Aubin in Manchester, New Hampshire, references from old Calcutta. He doesn't see the bad parts of my life. He doesn't see the walking the dog in the snow, you know? He doesn't see the, oh God, I have to go to the supermarket because we ran out of X or Y. My only question is, who do we think will play Mr. Tony in the inevitable movie? From Bill in Wilkes-Barre, for all the talk about corn prices lately, how long before Mr. Tony is growing corn stalks in the front yard with potatoes? There's got to be a sports writer somewhere who also grows corn in their spare time that Tony can talk to. From Chip Robinson in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, I bet that $300 cab would pair well with $30 corn and some sun-scorched potatoes. Yeah. Dennis McCann, Bayfield, Wisconsin. Wow, $370 a month for cable. $30 for a couple of years of corn and a few tomatoes. $14 for a junior cheeseburger. The world just sees you coming and grins. Yes. LD in D.C. I was listening to Wednesday's pod. I heard the plug for corn at the Walmart parking lot in Bedford, Pennsylvania. I thought to myself, I know that parking lot. It's a mere few minutes away from my in-laws in a spot we've stopped at many times as my daughter made shopping memories with her grandparents, parents, and aunt. I have to admit it wasn't on my radar for buying corn, but having had corn from that area, some of the most flavorful and satisfying ever, I would definitely stop and buy to eat now and freeze for later. Thank you for expanding my horizons. Happy to do so. From Kenny Ray, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Braves fan here, but because I live in Florida, I can't watch the Braves games on my MLB Extra Innings package with DirecTV. So I have to watch the other team's TV broadcast, which meant this weekend I got to watch the Nats broadcasters. Dan Coco's really good. I was impressed with how much detail he knew about the Braves. He is our friend.
Yeah, we love Dan.
But he's been watching them forever.
Yes, but we need to get me the Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Yes.
That's coming up this weekend.
Yes,
the shirt.
From Wes Bean in Delaware, Ohio, I've stumbled into an impossible situation. I'm part of a group of Kornheiser devotees who can identify an episode by a single Nigel laugh, remember obscure restaurant references, and somehow know the weather in Rehoboth from 2017. They're insufferable. My problem is simple. I need leverage. I don't need to co-host the show. I don't need to win the chatter. I don't even need a PTI cameo. I just need this email read aloud. That's it. The resulting social capital will sustain me for years. I become unbearable at our next gathering, which in fairness is exactly what they deserve. For context, I'm a CFA charter holder from Ohio, and I follow financial markets for a living, so my day job is making complicated things sound boring. This email is my annual attempt to show I have at least one personality trait. If this somehow makes the show, thank you. If it doesn't, I'll tell my friends it was intercepted by Gary before it reached you. From Adam Blaney in Athens, Ohio. I happen to be making a trip to D.C. this week with lots of free time. In the spirit of the show, I'd like to offer to come grill for you for $1,000. As the official organic vegetable farmer of the show, I'd bring the fresh tomatoes. If that's unavailable, when is our Tuesday tea time? That's great. That's great. Oh, from Wayne Hickenbottom, who encloses a lovely picture. Had a great meetup after your plug on Thursday's show. We have Liz Gardner, showed us her photo with you at Chatter, me, Chuck and Roxy 101. Bill Gammerdinger, official solar eclipse guy of the show, and Mary Faye Randolph, Chuck and Roxy 10. Thanks for being the reason we get together, and it's a lovely photograph.
That's a great picture, isn't it?
What appears to be a luncheon table. Charlie Burt, Springfield, Virginia. This weekend, during a family visit in Asheville, North Carolina, we had the privilege of golfing at Broadmoor Links. As we virtually never play, scoring was barely a concern. The real gift was a beautiful experience together on the grounds previously devastated by Hurricane Helene in the September of 2024. After a 21-month renewal effort, the redesign, rebuild, and rebirth of the scenic establishment was moving and cathartic, even to those of us who did not live through the storm. The obvious pride in the employees had only seen visitors able to finally return this June simply said, "We're so happy you could join us. Please come back again soon." Wishing all the best to everyone at the club. We can only hope visitors from all around Western North Carolina and beyond will soon come and share in your celebration. From Alex Lau in New York City, Luke Russert's newborn has the same birthday as Walter Payton. I'm sure that's going to get brought up in the Wilbon text chain. I wonder what Richard Dent thinks about it. Is the Midwest always already claiming Lil Russert as one of their own? I'm sure Wilbon is not surprised by the gender or the size of the baby. And one more from Mark Lynch in Camby, Indiana. I found your conversation about Calcutta's interesting. I now consider Jeff Ma the Mother Teresa of sports bettors. Fabulous. If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, do wear white.
Shut up, John Big Buddha, you coward! You're the weakest individual I ever know!
Smoltz. We're gonna play the Dodgers, we'll stuff them in the attic. They got Shohei, I'm unimpressed. We got Smoltz and Kirchen, Glavin and Maddox. Smoltz and Kirchen, Glavin and Maddox. We're gonna play the Mets, I'll have what she's having. They got Lindor, Soto, Bichette. We got Maddox, Kirchen,
Smoltz and Glavin. Mavericks, Kirchin, Smoltz and Glavin. We're gonna play the Sox, their bats will be searching. They'll be crying on Yawkey Way. We got Smoltz and Mavericks, Glavin and Kirchin. Smoltz and Mavericks.